The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and are not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's phenomenal, futuristic, flexible, free-flowing Friday as we unify in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit and add into our lives the truths that help us reflect the glory of Jesus Christ. First up, have you ever watched one of those superhero movies where one of the stars of the movies controls the weather? Yeah, that's not original. It's actually over 2,000 years old. Next, like the many faithful and diligent followers of the King of the Universe, we often ask God, don't you care that we're going to drown? Don't you care that we're going to perish? Uh-oh. And then finally, we can absolutely affirm that we are true children of the Most High God, because just like the 12 disciples, we often have fear where we're supposed to have faith.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations, spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and oy vey, so much more. Hey. We're asking you, what do you think? Now, you can reach out to us by calling 972-445-0770. You can text us at 214-210-8483, or you can go in your kitchen, grab tap shoes, and do a whole tap dance to communicate to us, and then film it and send it to us, and we'll put it on the radio. Okay, just think about that. We'll put it on the radio. See, video on the radio. Never mind. All right, here we go. Here we go. Don't forget, it's for praise reports. It's for prayer requests. It's for pop questions. Somebody sent me an email yesterday. Steven did, and it was a nice email. I couldn't really answer all of the questions. It's pretty in depth, and I wouldn't get a chance to answer that today because what we got set up, but I might next week. So I'm hoping he'll call in and kind of rephrase and ask me the questions. So he asked some questions about Abraham's covenant and the new covenant, the old covenant. It's really some good stuff. You can tell he's really thinking it through. I love stuff like that, and I'd be glad to do anything I can. If I can do it on the spot, I'll share and give you the best I got. And if not, I'll study it and then give you the best I got. And one way or another, I'll give you the best I got. But we start this day off, this first segment off, with a little bit of trivia, as we often do. This trivia is a challenge for some. Don't be afraid of it. If you don't know the answer, it's okay. That's part of the learning process. The question is, the disciples were first called Christians in what city? The disciples were first. We're not talking about the new exegetical statements that was positive, it was negative. Stop that. What city were the disciples first called Christians in? That's in the book of Acts. That's the one thing I'm going to give you. And I will tell you, it's before Acts 12 and after Acts 10. So you should be able to figure out that from that, somewhere between 10 and 12. There you go. It's the best you're going to get from me. Hey, keep in mind that pretty much anything is open for conversation because it's not professional radio. It's just radio. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family. And by the way, I don't have any reservation saying that. Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family. Each one of those has some really good elements. Now, I could pull out 20 other shows, but that's what I did 9 years ago. Why would I change that? Here is the bottom line. It's the David Spoon Experience, so buckle up, little campers. Here we go. Don't forget our DNA, okay? So yesterday I was going to have terrific tell that, but we had somebody call in and kind of changed that thing. So I'm going to give her another chance. So there's three elements to the DNA, okay? The second element didn't change, so I'll walk you through, I'll get you through that. But the first element, it's draw closer to the Lord
daily.
Excellent. The second one is never be ashamed. That's the one that's not changed. And then the last one, always be ready to
serve.
That's correct. You are right. Good job. See, we're all involved in this. See how cool that is. She nailed that down. All right, somebody calling in. I believe they're calling in for the trivia question. All right, this is David. Who am I talking to?
Hi, David, this is Ace.
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing great. I'm better than I deserve, really.
All of us are getting more than we deserve just by being allowed to breathe, right? I mean, it's what a grace and gift God has given each and every one of us. All right, my friend. Yeah. Now, this is and we're not going to go negative or positive just because that's a whole theological construct, but I just want to know, what city were the disciples first called Christians in?
In Antioch.
That is correct, sir. You are a winner. We're throwing confetti at you right now. You just don't know it because it's from the radio.
Amen. Amen. Thank you.
Excellent, my brother. All right. Today's message is going to be a lot of fun, so why don't you listen to it? I think you'll really enjoy it as much as you can. You'll really enjoy today.
Always look forward to it. Thank
All right.
you, David.
God bless, brother.
God bless.
All right.
God bless you.
All right. Excellent job. Here we go. All right. So get ready. This is just promise you this is like one of my favorite things. I could teach this for hours. That's the problem. Here we go. Mark chapter 4, verse 35. We covered everything, right? Mark chapter 4, verse 35. Got to get right to it. That day when evening came, he said to his disciples, this is Jesus, let us go over to the other side. Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up and waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. Okay. Let's just start here. I want to break this story down. One of my favorites of all time. So Jesus is with the disciples, and Jesus says to the disciples, hey, look over there. Let's get in the boat and go over there. And it's like, oh, right, let's go over there. Everybody gets in the boat. Now, Jesus said, let's get in the boat. They said, okay, everybody gets in the boat. They're on their way in the boat. And then what happens while they're on the way in the boat? A furious squall comes up. So a furious squall might be known in our terms more as a water spout, a whirlwind, or a mini hurricane. Okay, it's like it's a big deal. And keep in mind that Jesus is in a boat with guys that are fishermen who know about water. I mean, they know how the waters are, right? All right, so they know they're not dumb. They understand that. First thing I want you to catch is just because you're in the perfect will of God does not mean you always avoid storms. Look at these guys. Jesus goes, get in the boat. Let's go over here. They're like, okay, they're in the boat. And then the storm comes. What does that tell you? That even if you are exactly where the Lord wants you, that doesn't mean you avoid all storms. That doesn't mean that at all. The storm came. It was a part of the process, a part of the path, a part of the trail. And they were just like, whoa. Now looky here. Verse 38, where was Jesus? He was in the stern. The stern is the back of the boat. If I said that wrong, somebody call and get me corrected. But what was Jesus doing? He was sleeping. There are so many commentaries. He labored so hard that he had to get, maybe he just took a nap. I don't know. He was tired. He was sleeping. Let's get something straight. The waves are breaking over the boat. A furious squall, so you got this like a waterspout thing going on. The waves are breaking over the boat so that the boat is nearly swamped. You have fishermen who know when it's good and know when it's bad. And Jesus is very sleepy. It's like if you're a disciple of Jesus Christ on that boat while the waves are breaking over And the water, by the way, so if you, you know, most of us think of, you know, whether you're wearing sandals or tennis shoes or whatever kind of shoes, just think of the water not at your feet, but coming up to your knees, and then from your knees up to your thighs. And you're like, wait, this is bad. This is a bad scene. And what happens? You're like, Lord, Savior, what are you doing, dude? You're sleeping. And it's like, he's sleeping. And it's like, if you're thinking about what's going on, you're a fisherman and your boat is going. Okay, here's the key. There are two great principles that come out of this short little text. Number one, you can be and often are in the perfect will of God. Perfect will of God. And that does not mean that winds and waves and storms never come your way. Okay, so just stop thinking that. That's candy land. That's what happens if they give you on too much of a certain type of drugs, and then all you think is, you don't think anything. Okay, that's not what we're talking about. And number two, it's not unusual for us lacking in faith and understanding-oriented believers to sit there and just think, God, what are you doing? Because while they were watching the water rise, Jesus was taking a good nap. Must have been a pretty good nap, I would say, because if the water is coming in the boat and there's winds and there's waves and he's sleeping through it, he must have been pretty tired. I mean, I'll give him that. He's got to be exhausted. But the point is, many of us think God is sleeping in our lives. We think he's not moving very fast. Well, Lord, I need you to work in this arena, or I need help here, or I don't understand this. And we think that he's like, you know, you got to catch up, God. Come on. I mean, come on, get with the program here, because I've got this going on and this going on. Look where the water is. I'm in turmoil. As a Christian, as a Bible-believing, born-again Christian, you should recognize these two things immediately. One, even if you're in that excellent, perfect, absolute, perfect will of God, there are still storms that come your way. And number two, it appears, as though your life is in danger, and you don't think that the Lord is responding the way that you want him to. And that's what we get into in the next segment of how the disciples responded to that. What was their response to Jesus and to how he reacted or how he responded to their situation? So that's what we're going to cover when we come back. I promise you, it just gets more fascinating as we step into this drama that actually took place for the disciples and has a great reflection on everything we do in life. All right? Okay. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back.
Hey, here's something your insurance company doesn't want you to know. Some restoration companies have signed contracts with the insurance companies to get more business. At Mr. Restore, we don't participate in any insurance contracts because we believe they're a conflict of interest. Mr. Restore works for you and will always look out for your best interest. So, when you have fire, smoke, water, or flood damage, use the restoration company that's in your corner. Learn more at MrRestore.com.
Back to normal like you were before. If you have fire, water, damage, call Mr. Restore.
Every once in a while when I do the radio hosting, I have this wonderful opportunity to talk to people that influence the church, that are a blessing to the church. Today is no different. I am honored and blessed, by the way, to have the opportunity to talk with Pastor Robert Morris. He is the founding and lead pastor of Gateway Church. He's a best-selling author. He's written some excellent material, but he has a new book out, which has the greatest title ever next to the Bible. The new book is called Take the Day Off, Please. That's all I ask for. The book is entitled Take the Day Off, Receiving God's Gift of Rest. Pastor Morris, are you there with us?
I am, David, and it is so good to talk with you today.
I do want to let you know before we get going, that I was actually introduced to you by somebody at your church about a year ago. I was at a place called Inogen, and somebody named Robert, who went to your church, he gave me your book, Beyond Blessed, and I had not actually had the chance to engage on any of your material yet. I read that, and it was a really timely book, which was really cool.
Oh,
and then I was able to go and get your book on the Holy Spirit, which I thought was one of the best pneumatology books that I've read in a long time. So just to let you know, I really appreciate
that. Thank you. I came from a Baptist background, and so I have some friends that are Dallas Theological Seminary. I have some friends that are Church of Christ, and I have some friends that, you know, just come from all sorts of different backgrounds that are not quote-unquote Pentecostal charismatic. And again, that's not my background either. I went to Criswell right there in Dallas and to East Texas Baptist College before that. But anyway, I've had so many guys tell me that they really appreciated that book on the Holy Spirit, and they may not even agree with everything in it, but they appreciated the sensitivity and the way I handled the person and the Holy Spirit. You know,
it was a great job. I mean, I was born and raised Jewish. I became a Christian. I have a Baptist and a Pentecostal ordination.
And Pentecostal.
Yeah, I'm a Baptist. I'm a Calminian, and I'm a manifold millennialist. So anytime you want to sit there and talk about diversity, I'm there for you.
The David Spoon Experience.
If Jesus.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Okay, let's give first props to Terrific T for nailing that DNA. Good job. Appreciate that. Props over to Ace for getting that first trivia question. That was a good one. That's really good. And I hope you get into this message. I think makes a really big difference. You'll really understand it. Unfortunately, the greater part of the understanding comes in the very last segment. I can't do anything about that. That's kind of how those things go. Let's get into the second trivia question. This would be simply for those that are a little familiar with King Saul. King Saul had a troubling spirit that the Lord allowed to torment him. It could only be soothed by what? He had a troubling spirit, King Saul did. It could only be soothed by... What was it that... helped him take it down a notch. 214-210-8483 is the text number, 972-445-0770 is the actual phone number if you want to call in. Terrific T will help you out, walk you through it. It's not real complex, and I promise you will not get an electrical charge when that's taking place. I do want to share one brief story. I think you guys might find this semi-amusing. Happened today. So the other day, I didn't get to actually tell you that while my wife was driving home, she had turned a corner. I told you this, but I don't think I told the audience. Maybe I didn't tell you. Did I not tell you? Okay. I'm not going to be able to tell it again because somebody said, apparently I don't get to tell on my wife as much as I would like. Anyway, somebody's calling in with the answer. So now you're going to have to wait and hear about the story about the flying Dr. Pepper that flew all over, then it's got a setup on the backside of it. So now you got to wait. That's just part of radio. That's how we do live stuff. All right. So is this somebody answering the trivia question? It is. All right. This is David. Who am I talking to?
This is Chris.
Hi, Chris. How are you doing?
I'm doing just fine. Chris in Texas.
Chris in, I love it. Chris in Texas. That's a lot of territory to cover.
It is. Yes, it is.
All right, my good friend. Here we go. You had Saul, King Saul, and he was having, he's had some problems. And there was a spirit that was troubling him. And there was only one way that it seemed like it could be soothed. And what was that?
Well, that was by David's stringed instrument. I forget if it's a lyra or a harp.
Right, that is 100% sure correct. Yeah. Now here's something that's really cool that you can use this to extrapolate just for the fun of it, but we know what kind of music David wrote because he wrote a lot of psalms, right? And those were songs.
Right.
So
right.
We get the sense that that music that he played was most likely in the same vein of everything else he wrote, which was in a form a worship song or a praise song in some capacity. And that gives us an understanding that that praise music that David used may have had a may have been the very key reason why that spirit just couldn't hang out with Saul anymore because of the worship and
yeah,
the praise.
Good point.
I love
Excellent
that.
Point.
Isn't that great? That's why whenever my wife and I go through like super, like you ever feel like you've been spiritually slimed, then we put in a worship CD. We put in some kind of music just to like, just to give us a break. You know, it's like, okay, cut the atmosphere.
You know that reminds me of a past Philippians 4:7. I'm going to try to quote it. Correct me if I'm wrong, but a piece that is unknown has come over me, something like that.
Yeah, the peace that you're talking about, Philippians 4, talking about the peace that passes all understanding.
Yes.
That's
yes,
it. I gotcha. Right on track. Excellent. Excellent reference, by the way. Very good job. Great job on the trivia.
You.
Excellent. Thank you so much for listening. I appreciate it.
No problem.
Okay. Bye-bye. All right. That was fun. Okay. All right, let's get into our next segment. Okay, great job on his part, by the way. That's fantastic. All right, I want to paint this picture. This is the funniest thing because I didn't even still tell the story about my wife, right? I'm never going to tell this. I have to remind
never
me.
Never just tell the story.
Okay, all right. I know.
I'm hurt. I want to know.
Okay, the Dr. Pepper bottle that she had in her truck came flying out of the bag, crashed into the side of her truck, and sprayed Dr. Pepper all over. So she called me up, and I thought at first it was an accident, but she was like, what's up? It was Dr. Pepper all over. She cleaned it out. She put it in the fridge, but she didn't tell me something. I went in today. I went to the gym, came home, got ready to come, saw the Dr. Pepper, unscrewed it, put the Dr. Pepper in my mouth because it was a 2-liter. She forgot to tell me that what it was a crack in the plastic near the top. Guess what came out all over me while I was taking a sip of Dr. Pepper directly? The Dr. Pepper.
I was going to say the Dr. Pepper.
Yeah, that's right. there's a big pink, I'm not kidding, there's a big pink piece of tape on there where the crack was, kind of like, utility tape. And I just can't wait till she sees it so I can go, all right. All right, so let's go back to the story. That's funny if you guys understand life. That's just how life is, isn't it? All right, so here's these guys. They're the disciples. They're faithful. They love the Lord. The Lord loves them. It's not that's not what's going on. You got this wind, this hurricane, this whirlwind that's taking place, this squall, and it's filling up the boat, filling up the water. And here's the next thing that that happens. And I just want you to catch the picture of this. So Jesus, verse 38, Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on the cushion, and the disciples woke him up and said, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." And then the wind died down and was completely calm. Now, most people teach this and they go, you know, that's Jesus. And that's not incorrect. That's the right way to do that. But I think you're skipping a step when you do it that way. The disciples woke him up. There is this mindset that thinks that the disciples may have went where Jesus was and maybe stroked his face and said, "Jesus, Jesus." Okay, these guys were drowning or felt like they were going to drown. They felt like they were going to die. I don't know anybody who's gone into a room where they feel like they're going to die and communicate with somebody else and went, "Hi, how's it going?" My three-year-old, when my daughter, now she's 35. Oh, my goodness. So when she was 3, she would come into my room and wake me up. And you know what she would do? She would take her 2 fingers and stick them in my nostrils and shake my head saying, "Get up, Dad!" And so if that's what my 3-year-old daughter did to wake me up, was that classic? Shaking my head. What do you think the disciples did to Jesus when they thought they were going to die and they went to wake him up? What do you think happened? Do you think they went, "Hey, Jesus, hey, buddy, come on, get up"? Or do you think they went, "Get out of bed! Get up right now! We're drowning!" I mean, they woke him up. I mean, you have to just picture what's going on in this moment, right? And then verse 39 says, he got up. I'm not thinking Jesus got up and sprung up like a robot. He's probably groggy, right? Oh, okay, where are we going here? And you know, I got to think that when somebody wakes you up and you're in a dead sleep, you know, like me, maybe I'm not super cheery at the moment. I think probably not. Most likely, and probably most of us would have been not too happy. I'm just saying. And so these guys are like, they think their life is going to perish. They go in there, they wake Jesus up. And again, please get the real picture here. Get up, Jesus. We're drowning, dude. Get up. Stop sleeping. Do something. Verse 39 says that he got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, quiet, be still. And then the wind died down and was completely calm. So he said two things. He said, quiet and be still. The quiet is for the wind. The still is for the waves. The waves, you know, you ever been in the ocean? You ever been in, they go, and if you've ever gone to, I lived in different parts of California. We used to go body surfing in La Conchita, and there was like 10-foot waves. They're huge. In fact, when you get body slammed by one of those, it's really bad. Just want to say, talk about knocking the breath out of you. Well, these are waves that are kind of like that. So Jesus is like, okay, you guys be still. Okay, all right, the wind, be quiet. And let me explain something to you that's exceedingly important. That when Jesus said, be quiet and be still, there was a stop the noise, stop the turmoil moment. And it's that thing that we need right there when the storms in our lives are so intense that the waves are pushing us backwards and forwards, where you don't feel like there's any stability and you almost feel like you're going to throw up. And then the wind makes so much noise. I don't know if you've been in a really windy spot, but when the wind really comes, if you've been in a – well, you have to because you're in Texas here, so you have to know how loud that wind gets and how ferocious and everything. It's scary, right? I mean, it's not like it's something simple. It's like, wow. And Jesus comes, and what does he do? He stops the wind. He stops the waves. He makes the wind be quiet, and he stills it and brings everything to a calm. That is why we need Jesus when we're in the middle of a storm. Because he speaks, and the wind stops talking, and the waves stop moving, and the turmoil comes to rest. Now you get a little bit better understanding of how he is fully understood as the Prince of Peace, because a prince has authority, and what they needed in that situation is peace, and what many of us need in our situations and circumstances is peace. You don't need to have every answer unfolded. You don't have to have everything revealed at the moment. You just need to know that there's something greater in control than what it is your eyes are observing. And that would be Jesus, the Prince of Peace. Now, if you think this has been good, you wait, because this next segment, you're going to go, oh, no way. I'm telling you, this is what the whole experience was, and we get to understand a little bit about who's in charge. All right, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back.
Most of my life, it feels like I've been running.
Get your real estate agents here on sale. Only a dime a dozen. Step right up and get your agents.
What's going on here?
Real estate agents are in bloom here in Texas, so they're being offered only a dime a dozen.
Is this how real estate agents seem to you? A dime a dozen? Well, that's enough. Kimberly McQuinn, Realtor and Broker Associate with Fathom Realty, is not a dime a dozen real estate agent. Real estate isn't her hobby, it's her passion. With over 12 years of experience, Kimberly knows real estate isn't about selling, it's about the relationships. Get a free consultation by reaching out to Kimberly at turn2realtyteam.com. That's turn2realtyteam.com. Or call 903-484-6637. That's 903-48-HOMES. Whether you're a first-time home buyer or an experienced investor, whether you need a short sale or are looking for foreclosures, Kimberly is the quality you want and deserve for your real estate needs. Don't get the dime a dozen agent. Turn to the best. Turn to Kimberly.
Dr. Robert Jeffress on Hell.
I had a lady one time, we did a Q&A session in our church we call Ask the Pastor. Usually I know what they're going to ask, but this lady raised her hand and she said, Pastor, if a woman is pregnant at the rapture, does that mean she will be pregnant throughout eternity? And I paused for a second, and I said, yes, it's called hell. But, you know,
that's brutal.
Mean, there are some unanswered questions about all of this, but I do think we can know we're going to know one another.
The David Spoon Experience.
Moving is hard. It's a moment that everyone dreads. But wait, there's an answer. Jesus can help. And for the moving parts, Men of God Moving is there for you. Men of God Moving is a full-service Christian moving company that is locally owned and operated, serving the entire Dallas and Fort Worth area. Men of God Moving helps with homes, apartments, offices, long and short distance relocations, and so much more. They offer packing and unpacking services, loading and unloading, assembling and disassembling, plus many other helpful services. Tell them you heard it on the David Spoon Experience and receive a substantial discount. Substantial means a whole bunch. Call them at 817-707-7672 or go to their website, menofgodmoving.com. That's menofgodmoving.com. And check them out on Facebook. The Lord's Word says, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men. Ephesians 6:7. Allow Men of God Moving the privilege of serving you. And listen to Johnny Hill, the owner, often on the David Spoon Experience. To hear his testimony, reach out to Men of God Moving. Johnny's testimony will move you. God bless.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Glad to have you on board for the day. You having fun? This is kind of fun. It's kind of a different approach to some of the teaching I do. Sometimes I'll do expository like yesterday. Sometimes I'll do four different segments. This is actually like a sermon that's broken down into four parts. So I got about 2,000 of these. But all my material is at least 2,000 years old. Okay, that's the joke for the day. Okay, that was the best I got. No, she didn't like that. All right. You know, you having a buzzer could be dangerous. I just want to point that out. Okay, thank you. All right, here we go. Here's our next trivia question for those that are so inclined that can get through this next half hour. 214-210-8483 on the text. 972-445-0770 on the call-in. How many men did Nebuchadnezzar see walking in the fire? How many men did Nebuchadnezzar see walking in the fire? Let's not forget our website, which I've already done twice, or once anyway, hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. Okay, and so on HeMustIncrease.org, there's a new sign up there, a new thing at the very top of the website. If you've not been to the website for a while, it's cool. I think it's kind of a cool thing. You might not like it. You might not. Maybe you will like it. I don't know. I'm just showing you stuff on the website. And so perhaps you will like it, and if so, great. If you have an opportunity you want to give because you like the ministry, do so. If you like the ministry but you can't give, pray for us. We need your prayers. We need your help. Always. Everybody needs everybody's help. Okay, we got some answers coming in. Keep in mind, not how many people did Nebuchadnezzar put into the fire. How many people did he see in the fire? Aha! Just helping people out. All right, do we have anything for history? I don't even know. Do we have a sound? Well, thank you very much. All right. That might be appropriate for this history today. Today is cow chip throwing day. Aggie, don't even look at me. I have no idea. I don't even know how to respond to that. Cow chip throwing day. What is that? It's newspaper carrier day. It's also National Lazy Moms Day, but this is actually named for lazy moms who are animals, who are lazy and just chilling out. I have no idea how they come up with these. And then finally, it is National College Colors Day, which just means whatever the college. See, now, I'm from originally from Michigan, so you know, we think blue and gold. You know, that's great. And then some of you may be from Ohio State, which would be red and silver. And God can still forgive. Oh, I'm just kidding. It's, you know, kind of rivalry stuff. Okay. All right. On this day in 1950, here's one you don't know. Beetle Bailey, the comic strip, was first published. Beetle Bailey. And then here is a classic that only a couple people understand. In 1967, Gilligan's Island aired its first episode on this day in 1967. Did you ever watch Gilligan's Island? You ever seen any of that kind of stuff?
I've never seen it, but I've heard of Gilligan's
Island. Okay. And it was a, you know, goofy show. It was a 67. What did you want? It was a goofy, but people that get, you know, stuck on an island and can figure out how to create nuclear power but can't build a raft to get home. Anyway, that's what you go through, folks. That was the level of our television. You know what's worse is now television's worse. It's not even better. It's like it started at Gilligan's Island. Right down. Okay. Let's get right back into our text, if you don't mind. Don't forget, how many people did Nebuchadnezzar see in the fire? If you think you know the answer, you're welcome to text us. We are getting texts. And if you want to call, you can call in as well. Let's get back to our text because it is just one of my favorite portions. Here we go. So we're talking about Jesus, the disciples, the boat, the squall that happened, and them waking Jesus up, and Jesus speaking to the waves and the wind. He tells the wind to be quiet, and that's one of the biggest things people need to recognize is there's so much noise. There's so much noise. Sometimes we just need it to be quiet. We just need it to calm down and the waves to be still. Stop bouncing up and down and up and down and up and down. All right. Now, before I read this next portion, we got somebody calling in on the trivia. Mm-hmm. Is that correct? Yes, sir. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hi, this is Deborah.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing good. How are you today?
I'm doing fantastic. Thank you for asking. I appreciate that. All right, so this is a good one because it's not what he put in the fire, it's what he saw in the fire. So what was the? How many people did Nebuchadnezzar see in the fiery furnace walking around?
Four.
That is correct, man. You are right. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were the three people that went in. But then when he looked in the fire, there was a fourth person in there. And he said, that's one like the Son of Man or the Son of God or an angel of God. There's a couple different interpretations. But somebody else was walking with them. And then when they came out of the fire, but some people don't catch this, not even their hair was singed. Which is
isn't that amazing?
That's like, what? I mean, not even there. Nothing on them.
Smoke or anything.
That's exactly. Excellent job. Excellent
thank
answer.
You.
All right. Thanks so much.
All right. God bless you.
Bye-bye. God bless. All right. Good job. All right. So people have really just been cranking it today. I love it. Love it. All right. So I want to go back to this thing we're talking about Jesus because there's something that Jesus says that I think you and I read and you don't reply to it. I remember the first time I heard this, I thought about it. And then I think for about 5 years of my Christianity, I just stuffed it. And then as I got more poking into the Word of God and kind of checking things out, you ask the Lord these kind of questions. You try and find this stuff out, right? Here's what Jesus said. After he, verse 39, he gets up, rebukes the wind and the waves. Quiet, be still. And the wind died down. It was completely calm. All right, the noise came down. The swishing back and forth came down. Everything's fine. He said to his disciples, why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? Now, I want you to stop and stop being spiritual, okay, and be a normal human being, okay? And then I want you to re-ask that question with you, like in the boat with them, with everything that's going on. Jesus goes, why are you so afraid? If you were a disciple, you wouldn't go, are you kidding me? Look around, dude. I'm drowning. I mean, how would you not say that? Why am I so afraid? The mast of the whole thing is like over in another planet. It's like, what do you mean, why am I afraid? I'm freaking out here. I'm drowning. Now, he does say something that's crucial, okay, that gives them the direction that really helps in the situation. But just think about that. Why are you so afraid? Why am I so afraid? I feel like I'm drowning. I feel like I'm going to die. I feel like things aren't going well. Well, that response is that's a normal kind of response to the Lord when you're going through a trial, you're going through something tough, and you're like, I don't know what's going on. I don't have a handle on this. I don't have control of this. I don't know what you're doing. And because I don't know what you're doing, I'm operating in this doubt place. And then Jesus puts a very interesting, I don't want to say spin on this, a redirect of thought. That's what I would say. He says to them, why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? Now listen to that question that Jesus asked. They'd hung out with Jesus. They'd seen things with Jesus. They kind of had a handle on him a little bit, but not a lot. And what he does is he asks them this question. And I think it's in Luke 8:25 where he says, where is your faith? In our situations, in our circumstances, in our boat, in our drowning, in our waves crashing in our process, one thing seems to slip by, and that's our faith. Because what we use is our eyes to evaluate, right? Even though the scripture says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. But we do lean on our own understanding, and we do walk in this this mindset of, well, the way that things look, and we forget, even now as Christians, passages that say we walk by faith and not by sight. Everything you see, if you walk by that, you'll never get through the storm. It's a disaster. But if you insert faith, it changes the picture. I mean, I cannot. Let me see if I can say this in a way. All right. Imagine a scenario, okay? A drastic scenario. Well, let's say somebody is hanging on by one hand on a railing in the Grand Canyon, okay? That's disaster scenario, right? Now, imagine that exact same scenario and God is there. Okay. It's like, okay, well, that's completely different, Dave, because, you know, God could just suspend him in the air. Exactly. Thank you. Well, that's different. I mean, he could have angels go underneath him and just grab him by the shoulders and lift him. Exactly. Well, that's different, Dave, because anything can happen because God can do anything. Exactly. What we do is we sit there and we think, in the natural, it's this. And Jesus is like, hey, you know this thing that we've been working on together for a while? Where is that? Where is that little thing that you have in confidence? Where is that faith? And we're going to close this out because we're leading into this last section, which is the most important section, by Jesus asking this one last thing. Or by Jesus asking him that one thing about it, and the disciples asking themselves one last thing. Verse 41, they were terrified, and they asked each other, who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him. That answer is what this entire presentation is for, okay? All right, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Don't go anywhere. Big finale coming up.
The David Spoon Experience.
I am such a sinner. Not just a sinner. I am such a sinner. I'm like the biggest sinner ever. That's how I felt. And then it was the understanding that God really cared about me. And therein lies the key. Because God did care. He does care. And it's the same for you. You're listening to me. He does care. And that pain you're going through, it makes him weep. And you might say, well, you can't back that up spiritually or scripturally. Yes, I can. John chapter 11, verse 35. Jesus wept, not for Lazarus. Lazarus was getting up in 5 minutes, but all the grief and the pain around him. Come on. God has a heart. His heart's bigger than your heart. So here's part of the things that I'm skipping light years. I'm just going past it. But it's like when that guy started crying and I started getting mad, and then he said, it was, this is how the Lord feels for you, and this is the Lord's heart for you. it just showed me I'm so hard-hearted. I'm like a rock, but not in a good way. You know, I'm like a dumb rock. Like, oh man, what's the matter with me? And so, you know what he did when he was done doing that? Because now I'm gone, right? Because now, how do you think after that happens, how do you think I feel? Okay. So now I'm like, please pray for me. That's right. Because I'm just lost. And he prays for me. And it's powerful. It's like, you know, it's unbelievable. It's just really, very, really powerful. Here's the thing that leads up to it. Now, right, ready? Because, and that is the powerful point, especially when he cried. But it turns out that I went to that church for a little while. You want to hear something absolutely, positively, mind-blowing, amazing? 3 months later, on a Sunday night, I was preaching in that church. And I was preaching Romans 1:16, the very first thing I ever taught in my life. In that church, in Pastor David Huntsworth Church, Abundant Life in Dillon, Colorado. And I'll tell you one thing that I hope you really hear. And that is that one experience so affected me, I was never the same person again. It just showed me that God really does care. We're pretty hard-hearted. Yeah, we're mushugi from time to time. Not God. He's totally awesome. On Christ, the solid
rock I stand. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. I'm going to give a quick shout-out. Was Deborah that called in and gave that suggestion? We have some people calling to help with sound. We're going to use that sound that she came up with in our Future for History segments. It's a great idea. It's a great song. Great thinking. I love our audience. Just everybody's so cool. All right. Anyway, let's get to the next trivia question. This is not a tough one because I'm not going out on the very last one saying, you know, what were the color of the pomegranate bells on the bottom of the Levi priests? You know, I'm not doing that. Here it is. Give me the translation for Emmanuel. All right, 214-210-8483, or that's the text. So you can text in anytime. I get the text, I read them, I look at them, I see all the texts every day. And then 972-445-0770. In fact, the only problem with the text, which I had mentioned, is that sometimes they do a replay of our show like at 2 in the morning, and sometimes people think it's live and they text an answer. It's like, yeah. I don't typically get out of bed for that. If my phone rings at 2.
But who does a talk show at like 2 in the morning and says, hey, go ahead and text us, and they're like, who's up at that time texting? Yeah. Like, I know the answer.
Well, the rates are expensive, though, every other time, so 2 in the morning would be about the time you'd think you could afford it.
Fair enough.
Okay. All right. That's just us having fun. Bottom line, Emmanuel, if you know it, Emmanuel, what does that mean? Text in 214-210-8483. Call in 972-445-0770. And I will say, if you're listening to this and it's 2 in the morning, don't text me. Okay. Don't text me. Okay, thank you. All right, so the whole premise of me leading up to this, the whole thing, is for this moment here. So you have Jesus. He's, we've gone through the scriptures. He's in the boat. He says, let's go to the other side. And they're leaving the crowd behind. They're in the boat. There's a squall that comes up. The waves broke over the boat. Jesus was asleep in the stern. So he's sleeping on a cushion. Okay, cool. He's snoozing. The disciples wake him up. They, don't you care if we drown? Which should tell you that everybody goes through that process, even people so close to Jesus, right next to Jesus. And so Jesus says, quiet and be still. The wind dies down. The waves are completely calm. He turns to his disciples and says, why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith? And then, by the way, that should be a comfort to you that when you have absentee faith, you're just like the 12 disciples. So congratulations. It's just another affirmation. In case you didn't know that. Okay, so now somebody's calling in on this one. Wow, this is a great day. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hey, David. This is John.
Hi, John. How are you?
All right. Well, I'm just resting from a little yard work, but I'm recuperating.
Okay, this is a good day to recuperate. So, I mean, yeah. Good job. All right, my friend, we have a straightforward question. What does the name Emmanuel mean?
God with us. I think the L part on the end is God, isn't it? Yep. You know Hebrew, probably.
God with us is correct. You are right. Now, you want to hear something fascinating, a little theological nugget that's really fascinating
sure.
about that,
yeah.
is because there was silence between Malachi and the birth of Christ, there was this long period of time where they call it the 400 years of silence.
Uh-huh.
There was a lot, even though there was many things that took place, like the Septuagint was developed, which was turning the Hebrew Bible into Greek and so on and so forth, but a lot of people had thought that God was no longer with them. And it's an amazing element that in the very first proclamation that God gives in the beginning of the new covenant, the first thing he says is, "No, I'm with you." It's just like,
really?
Wow, wait, that's unbelievable. Because there was silence and they thought God had abandoned them. And it's like, nope. First thing he declares, "I'm with you."
Is that right?
Okay. Great? I love it.
And then sometime along the way, he said, "I'll never leave you and forsake you," or something. I don't know.
Exactly correct.
When that was, but...
That's exactly right. And if it's funny because in Matthew 1, he promises never to abandon us with God with us. And then in Matthew 28, he says, "I'll never leave you." So
right.
The beginning and the end of the first gospel. Yeah.
That is cool.
That is awesome. All right. Thank you, my
brother. Well, thank you for that little nugget.
and I love sharing those things. So thank you for calling in. Great job on the trivia.
Thank you. All okay. Right. Keep it up, buddy.
Thank you.
Thanks, brother. Bye-bye.
All right, excellent job. Four questions, four call. We are just rolling. All right, so now, yes, good job. It's a fast clap. All right, so we've gotten to this place now where the disciples are asking this question, and this is the whole premise of the whole thing. I know you're thinking, boy, you're sure taking a long time. I understand, but you have to understand why this is important. In verse 41, it says, "They were terrified, and they asked each other, 'Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him.'" And I want you to understand that question and how that question has to be answered by you in every circumstance that you go through in which you call upon the name of the Lord. Okay, so let me give you an answer just real quickly. I'm going to give you a couple of them. This is Philippians 2, 8 through 11. "And being found in the appearance of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father." All right, hold on. Let me go to the next. "The 11 disciples went to Galilee to the mountains where Jesus had told them to go. And when they saw him, they worshiped. Some doubted. Jesus said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I'm with you always, even to the very end of the age.'" You know why you have to answer that question, "Who is this?" Because the answer to that question tells you how you get through your trial. You get through your trial by understanding who Jesus is. He is the Son of the living God. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given unto him. Every knee shall bow before him and confess. Everyone shall confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Listen to this. This is in Ephesians 1. This is what he says. "Far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be the head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way." Every stretch of authority in all of existence is under the hand of Jesus Christ. And why you have to ask that question every time you go through a trial is because you have to recognize who it is that you're dealing with. And the disciples had missed one key element in the whole experience that was crucial. And that was when they even said, "Who is this that even the wind and the waves obey him?" Who is this is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who said, "Let us go over to the other side."
It didn't matter if that boat went over as a submarine. It wouldn't have mattered if that boat had to materialize, departicleize, and then reassemble. It would not have mattered one whit because the Son of the Living God said, we're going over there. And they were going over there no matter what because of who said, we're going over there. And when you have your situation and you call upon the name of the Lord and you're in the midst of the struggle and in the midst of the fight and you're just not sure, you remember who it is that you're calling upon. You remember that he is far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given. You remember that all authority in heaven and earth has been granted unto him. You remember that at the knee, at every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under earth, and every tongue shall confess Jesus Christ is Lord. That's who this is. And that is the one thing that the disciples just kind of slipped by there because Jesus said, let's go over there. And they were going over there. It didn't matter how they got there. That was irrelevant. It didn't matter if the universes had to crash in on you. Irrelevant. The Son of the Living God. And so when you go through it, and I know you go through it just like I do, when you struggle with it, and I know you do just like I do, you remember that when you call upon the name of the Lord, you remember who it is you are calling upon. John was very close to Jesus in Jesus' earthly journey. But if you read Revelation chapter 1, verse 9 through 18, Jesus has a completely different image, and John is overwhelmed because that's who Jesus is. And this is what John said, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. He placed his right hand on me and said, don't be afraid. I'm the first and the last, the living one. I was dead, and behold, I'm alive forever and ever. And behold, I hold the keys of death and Hades. John is going, whoa. That's who it is. Who is this? It's Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the name given under heaven whereby men must be saved, the ruler of all. Isn't that cool? It's like, oh. I love that. You should see me at a church. I'm almost doing a flip off the stage. All right, you make sure you have a good weekend. Don't let too much noise or wind in your ears. All right, folks, you've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. 71-hour break, then we'll be back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
The views expressed on the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.